Radio Gorgeous, online, on your phone, on a podcast, or on your tablet. Listen anywhere, anytime. Rocket number 9, take off to the planet, Venus. Aphrodite, lady, seashell bikini, garden panty, Venus. Let's blast off to our new dimension, in your bedroom, Venus. Aphrodite, lady, seashell bikini. Grace Vane Percy is no ordinary photographer. She photographs nudes, women. Her photographs are ethereal, mysterious, and truly beautiful. Grace has an art training background, and it shows. Grace, welcome to Radio Gorgeous, the red sofa.
Hello, Josephine. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. So I'm holding this stunning book, Venus, by Grace Vane Percy. Why women? Why do you photograph women?
It's easier being a woman, I think, interacting with women. And when I look at a nude, I look at it so much from a beauty and a fine art perspective, because I think, it's kind of embedded in my mind from all my studying. But also, you know, being a straight woman, I'm looking at them from a completely different perspective to a man. And actually, I find it much easier to be with and photograph a nude woman, and probably even I would have thought drawing and sculpting, you know, when that was my sort of area, than actually being with a naked man, which I find more nerve-wracking, actually.
Yeah, because I suppose it is just your reflection, isn't it?
Yes, and it's your... In a way, I try and sort of say to my clients, you know, it's... You know, my general work is portrait, nude female portraiture. And I try to say to them, I want to show you something beautiful about yourself. So it's maybe something that someone who... You know, as women, we have, you know, all kinds of issues and interesting thoughts about our
body. We really have issues. I've never met a woman without an issue about her body or looks.
Yes, and over-analysing. Mm. And I think the thing is, the person that loves you, the way that they look at you and the things they love about you, they sort of gloss over a lot of things that you might be hung up on. So I suppose in a way, I'm manipulating the body through the posing and the lighting in a way to sort of, in a way, you know, gloss over the negative and just highlight the positive. But it is the way that maybe someone that loves you sees you. And I want to represent women with an image of their beauty rather than constantly to focus always. I think we focus as women too much on the negative.
Yeah, and we focus on the perfect, we want perfection, which I think is, you know, because of, you know, being able to change photography, and we see people with perfect legs, and you know what I mean, we see all these people with perfect bodies who have probably had loads of airbrushing, and it's, you know,
loads,
so it really affects us.
I think it really does. And actually, even my 8-year-old goddaughter was remarking to me the other day, she said her mother was saying to her, you know, that in the magazines they're not real pictures, you know, they've been manipulated and everything. And she said, no one can look that good. And my goddaughter said, well, maybe some people do look that good, mummy. And it's funny that the concept, they're brought up now so much, children, with this perfection, that this plasticiness, it seems to them so normal and so real that she really can't conceive. And I said, actually, if you come to my studio, I'll... Because I do traditional photography. I work on film, and the retouching is done traditionally, and it's more tidying.
So you have a dark room and everything?
Yes.
Wow.
So
do you have to have an assistant?
I don't. I don't work with an assistant because I think it would make the atmosphere awkward. I think it's really important that you can relate and quite quickly develop a very... sort of comfortable rapport with your subject. And I always think that for the convenience of having an assistant changing my film over for me and, you know, helping me to, you know, sort of keep an eye on what I'm up to, I think that having someone essentially kind of lurking and watching the two of you working makes everyone just feel much more uncomfortable.
Again, it's two and then one, isn't it? It's much better one to one.
Yeah.
Radio Gorgeous, podcast for women. Do you always do in black and white then? Because this book, Venus, is black and white.
Yes, I do always photograph in black and white. It's been, I think it's part of my, again, sort of fine art training, because you learn life drawing in charcoal. And, you know, you're taught very quickly to observe chiaroscuro. And so you're studying light and shadow pattern, and you're actually measuring it. We learned a technique called sight size.
So you're literally seeing this in light and shadow, and as a kind of painting then, when you do a photo.
Well, yes. Oh, actually, almost as a sculpture. I like to think of the human body as a sort of living sculpture. And I think really, if you look back at, you know, the roots of nudity in art, that's why Venus, because Venus is the mother of all female nudity, and she began as a sculpture.
Now, I want to ask about that. Yes, so can you tell us about the cult of Venus? Because I find that completely fascinating.
It is. It is really fascinating, because what I love about it is it's the strength and the celebration of the nudity, rather than, you know, she's not being objectified, or she's not being belittled. She's actually being elevated through her nudity. And with Venus, there's, you know, she is naked. There's no one's trying to pretend she's not naked, but they're not trying to make it something sort of, I don't know, smutty in a way. They're trying to say that nudity is almost sort of divine beauty. You know, it's part of the concept of divine order and ratios and harmonies and all these lovely things that people get so distracted by flesh. And actually, I think with the book, a lot of people think, oh, nudes in English country houses, it's going to be, you know, lots of kind of breasts and bottoms on sofas and fabrics, and there's curtains, and it'll all look very fleshy. But actually, the pictures with the film hopefully have this lovely quality where the nude sits within the environment as a sculpture or a painting would, without jarring and without that feeling of, you know, she's a sort of sex object. You know, she's actually, hopefully, I hope I've achieved that, she is transcending that completely.
Now, the women in it, some of them have kind of modelly looks, but none of them are thin. They've all got curves.
I think it's really, really, really important that these women or girls are real, because when you look at a sculpture, for example, the very famous Venus de Milo, she's not a stick insect, you know, she's a woman. And the fact is, when you look at Venus and the representations of Venus throughout history, Venus is every woman. You know, sometimes if you look, I mean, in painting, you'll see, you know, sometimes she's tall, sometimes she's short, sometimes she's got ginger hair, blonde hair, brown hair, dark hair, pale skin, pink skin. So when sort of Gothic Venus comes in, she starts to lose the boobs and gain the bottom. And then you've got the sort of Renaissance Venus, where you get the more voluptuous sort of proportions.
Yeah, really curvy. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, yeah. You see some really curvy Venuses. And I think it's really important. So when I was looking for these girls, I was looking for, obviously, for them to have a beauty to them. But I just don't think that our concept of modern beauty, we're so hung up on sort of skinniness and maybe a certain type of face, that actually people are forgetting that, you know, how many people are there in the world and how many people love those people? Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of non-perfect people, or perfect in inverted commas, people around who, they're not any the less beautiful. We've just forgotten that those people can be celebrated as being beautiful. And actually, if you look in art, you know, there are paintings of muses, wives, and mothers, sisters. They're women who were found inspirational by the artist, and they've celebrated them. They haven't tried to trim a few inches off here and there. You know, maybe they've, you know, slightly tweaked the proportion to suit the thing. But actually, if you look at nudes in paintings, no one's perfect, but they're not meant to be perfect, and that's part of the beauty.
Perfect would be boring, wouldn't it?
And yeah. Weird.
So did you, number one, who are the girls? Are they models? Did you want to see their bodies before you photographed them?
The girl actually on the cover is my sister's best friend.
So you know her quite well.
I do know her quite well. But when I asked her, I hadn't actually seen her naked when I asked her, but I'm very fond of her because she's a beautiful person, obviously, but she's also a really lovely person. And
she has got a beautiful body. She's got long legs. She's got a pert bottom, shoulders. I mean, she has got a very good figure, but I wouldn't, you know, again, she's not skinny. She's normal, isn't she?
She is normal. And and I was just sort of, I was looking for girls. I mean, one, they're all quite young, okay.
Yeah, but age are they?
They're kind of around sort of 19 to 24, 22 maybe.
Is there a reason for that?
The reason was actually because if you do look in the history of art, you know, there's sort of known models in history. And
is that like the peak time then for kind of models?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think, don't forget...
Think about it on the runway, that's the peak age as well.
Well, I think it is. And yeah. Even if you look back historically, you know, everyone's sort of getting married at the age of 15 or something. I don't think anyone past 20... I think, you know, it's just sort of the way it is, really. But also because there is so much beauty there at that age.
Yes, you know, blossoming.
Yeah.
In fact, apparently you physically start to age at 26.
Really?
So you're absolutely right. You know, the people knew unconsciously or consciously what they were doing when they chose. You know?
I think
like
so.
The perfect, well, the kind of, we shouldn't say perfect, the ideal specimen, isn't it?
Yes.
That's what it is. It's ideal more than perfect.
I think so. And I think you're right. It's that sort of like blossoming age. Mm. And I don't see anything wrong with that because I think, do you know what? No, even if you're perfect at that age, you know, no one's perfect forever. So what's wrong with capturing that, celebrating that? Because however perfect you are, you know, time moves on.
Yeah, as we know.
And that's why I don't understand why people are so hung up on the concept of
maintaining it,
they just can't. Well, I know we can't let go because we're hounded with all of these images constantly. Mm. But isn't it quite nice to sort of just look at it and move on?
RadioGorgeous.com. The thing about wrinkles, I mean, you know, 20 years ago there was nothing in any magazines about wrinkles. It's all a new worry. You know what I mean? They try and find new worries for you to spend money on.
And people start looking absurd.
Yeah, really strange.
All becomes quite worrying, really.
And then when you look at them, you don't think, oh, they look good. You think, oh, they've had work done.
Yeah.
You know, it's you don't...
Yes,
so
exactly.
Actually, you're looking at how weird they look, not about how their beautiful spirit, which in a way, beauty is your spirit and your soul, isn't
it? I think so. And actually... A lot of them, I mean, Victoria, for me, the girl on the cover, I mean, she has that. She's a beautiful, beautiful person. And actually, the choice to work with her was, you know, kind of what they say, a no-brainer.
And was she okay about getting nude with you?
Well, interestingly enough, I always thought she was quite shy. And I was contemplating asking her. And then I heard my sister and her having this conversation about she'd been having burlesque dance classes. So I thought, oh, perfect. I think I can nip in there, maybe. But it's nice, yeah.
What about, so you went to country houses, beautiful, posh country houses, and, I mean, they are naked. I don't know what time of year it was. You know, did they have, like, a fur coat waiting for them?
Yeah, it was a bit chilly. Unfortunately, because the houses, they're privately owned, but they're all open to the public. So if you imagine, we have to go off-season.
Yeah.
So off-season means you have to go in September, October. So there was a lot of goosebumps going on and a lot of very kind of cosy dressing gowns. And I did actually pack hot water bottles.
What about makeup? Did people do their own makeup and things?
No, we had a makeup artist who's called Joella Butler, and she's fantastic. Again, I love working with her because she's a great, great person. And so they actually had full body makeup.
Wow.
As well as
so
makeup.
So that would make you
hair.
Feel more comfortable, wouldn't it?
It's more about unifying the skin.
The tone.
Yeah, so if you, for example, imagine when you sunbathe, you'll notice bits of you brown differently to others.
We've all got white bottoms.
But
from wearing bikinis.
Exactly, little triangle there.
Yeah.
All one colour and also all one sort of reflectivity. So when the light is bouncing off, it's sort of bouncing evenly and equally. And also it's in a way quite a good preparation for the posing because they have to take off the dressing gown. They have to have the full body makeup rubbed up and down and left and right and all over the place.
So they're kind of getting used to being naked, being touched, being manipulated.
Yeah. And I think it's a bit of a, you know, it's obviously a big icebreaker. It's sort of part of the process, really. And I think it's good that there is a process. You know, you have your hair done, you're having your makeup done, you're having your body makeup done, and then you get on the set and actually it's freezing on the set and you're thinking, let's just get this over and done with, rather than focusing maybe too much on the uncomfortableness of, you know, being naked in a really vast space.
Now, the other thing is they all have pubes. Is that important? Did you ask them to have them or did they already have them? Because I know nowadays so many people have these landing strips and things.
Yeah, I'm really anti-landing strip. I think it's quite... I think I'm quite a sort of natural person. I like things to be natural. I think that if there's going to be hair, it should have a natural shape.
Did you ask them to grow it?
I actually asked them to trim because I sort of... There was one girl who actually came having had a full Brazilian, actually. But apart from that, all the girls had hair. And I just said, look, just, you know, not to put too sort of fine a point on it, you know, just have a little trim tidy up, but I don't want anyone going crazy.
Because you want people to have hair, because, again, that looks normal, doesn't it?
It
well,
does.
To me, but...
I think it does, and I think also... I'm just not a fan of the exposed... bits and bobs. I just don't think it's not what it's about. And it's the problem is that it's so eye-catching. What's wrong with a bit of mystery? I don't...
We're meant to have it. It's for privacy and for scent, isn't it? That's why it's there.
And just, yeah. I just think it's, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't know. I wasn't about to sort of get a sort of plastic fig leaf and sort of paste that onto people. But I do think it's got to have a real element. I had actually considered, should the girls have no hair and then should we retouch everything so it was totally smooth and looked like a sculpture, and I thought that would just be so weird and again eye-catching because
yeah,
I think
and make
little...
it fake as well. I mean,
yes.
The whole idea is that we said quite natural
and
yeah.
I think it catches your eye, the fake, whereas a little bit of hair you're not looking
yeah.
at it, where
yeah.
sort of smooth something down there you'd be like, well, what's that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you had to give it consideration then.
Yeah, I did. I did, actually, because I was thinking if we're trying to think really about sculpture and painting, you know, there are no pubes in sculpture and painting, traditionally.
Mm. Mm.
So, you know, that is quite an important sort of point. But then I thought, you know, what it's really about is it's trying to look at the woman. It's trying to take a step back from sculpture and remembering that these sculptures were made from a model. They weren't, here are my seven favourite body parts plonked into a sculpture. It was a beautiful, inspirational woman, a sculptor, and they worked together on a sculpture, and that's the result is the thing. So looking at them within these sort of country house environments was sort of trying to take a little step back from the sculpture and say, well, yes, they're beautiful and inspirational, but they're also real.
Over 2,000 followers can't be wrong. Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Thanks, darlings. Mwah. Christmas is coming. Who would you give Venus, this beautiful black and white book published by Quartet, who would you give it to?
I think I would give it to... I would probably give it to a woman, actually. I think people think it's meant to be a gift for men. But for me, it's a gift for women because it's a gift... It's expressing... I would think if you give it to someone, you're expressing your appreciation... for their beauty, actually, and the sort of sanctity of their beauty. And I don't think it's like giving, you know... I don't think it's the kind of book, you know, you don't look through and you feel jealous. I don't think a woman can feel uncomfortable having it in her home or a bit sort of annoyed, you know, that the husband's looking at... I just don't think it has that feel to it. I mean, for me, it's the biggest compliment when a woman... likes the book, because I think, I mean, I don't mean to generalize, but I do think that men are easier to please with nude photos of women. So
my husband pounced on it.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's lovely when men like it, and I'm not appreciating their appreciation.
Yeah, I want to say, what do women think of the book?
It's been really positive because I think they see it as woman to woman, that it's a bit like when a woman says to you, gosh, you know, you look lovely today, or I love your hair, or I love your dress, or I love your shoes. You take it as a big compliment. And when
a real compliment.
And when a woman is complimenting female beauty, women can enjoy it as a, you know, they can get it, like they get on board with it, because it's actually feels nice to compliment and enjoy the female form without it feeling sexualized. Or, and also I think the concept of sort of nudity on your own terms, that the women are choosing to be naked and to be celebrated, rather than, it's not, you don't feel that these women are sort of vulnerable victims. You feel that it's, you know, there's a strength sort of in that concept, if you think, between the naked and the nude. You know, are you naked or are you nude? You know, these are nudes. They're elevated nudity.
Because it's high art. So Grace Vane-Percy, thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous 2014, produced and presented by Josephine Pembroke.